Hello and welcome to Tony Brew Ministries. Here's a teaching session from 2 Peter chapter 1, entitled, An Empowered People.
We're in 2 Peter chapter 1 today, and the title is, An Empowered People. God wants us to be empowered. He told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until you are endued and endued with power from on high. God calls an empowered Christian to overcome. He wants us to be overcomers. Jesus said several times in the angel in the book of the Revelation, blessed are they who overcome. I will give a tree of life. I will give the hidden manna. I will give all these things to those who overcome. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 is our scripture text, the golden text. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything that has to do with life, that's the spiritual part. Everything that has to do with godliness is the spiritual part, of course. Life has to do with things in this world, things in life in general, and things that we live on this earth. And God has given us all things that have to do with life and also godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The more that we know about our wonderful Lord, the more that we have these things in life and godliness. The reason that many people don't experience what God has for us in life and godliness is not because we don't have it, it's because we don't know about it. It's like that special key in your car. If you don't know that you could start that car remotely, it doesn't mean that you don't have the option. The option's there, you don't have the knowledge to use it. So you'll go and put the key in the door and open it, but you won't stand remotely and push the button because the option's there, but you don't know about it. So it's through the knowledge of Him. The more that we know, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Peter talks to us about that divine power. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. When you open this book of Peter, 1 Peter and 2 Peter also, it's like opening a rich treasure box. And he starts off like a racehorse at the gate, just telling us about the knowledge of God, telling us about the wonderful things of the Lord. And we have this like. You hear everybody talking about liking things. If you see a video, like this video, like someone on Facebook, and like this and that. He talks about the like, the equal precious faith that we have obtained together through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He calls us to glory and He calls us to virtue, the powerful things of God. Divine power. God is divine. He's the only one who is divine. And He has shared with us His divine power. He's made known unto us His divine power through the knowledge of God and the knowledge of our Lord, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We're getting in this treasure box this morning, and we're pulling out the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jesus, the precious promises of God. All the promises of God are so wonderful. And all the promises in Jesus Christ are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God by us. Every promise in the book is mine. Every verse, every chapter, every line. Praise God for the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. These not only great promises, but exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, We are not divine. The teaching is out that we will be divine one day, but that's not right. We have not been divine, we are not divine, and we will never be divine. But we are partakers of His divine nature. We have a new nature now that we're born again. We're partakers of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now this is the seven Christian qualities, I call them. Add to your faith virtue. That's the power that God gives. And to virtue, knowledge. You've got to have knowledge to use that power. To knowledge, temperance. Temperance is self-control. The Holy Spirit will give you the ability to control yourself. And this world is out of control. They don't have self-control. They're out of control. So many of them are in control so much that they're out of control. And God gives us temperance. That's a fruit of the Spirit too, temperance, self-control. To temperance, patience. We need that in our world today. Try going to the gas pump if you don't believe it. Need patience. To patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, or super test. You can't get no high test gas right now, but you can get super test, high test love. That's what charity is. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to be barren. We don't have to be dried up and not bearing fruit. Because if we have these things that He's talking about, they will make us that we will neither be unbarren, that we will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, there are three things that happen to you if you don't have them. He that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So he's blind, he's narrow-minded, he's unforgetful. That puts you in a bad place. Only other thing that can be wrong with you, if you had bad breath and feet stinks and mother-in-law's moved in for you, it's been a summer. That's about the only other thing that can happen to you. You're blind and narrow-minded. Some people so narrow-minded their ears rub together. So you're narrow-minded, can't see afar off, has forgotten that he's purged from his old sins. That would be the worst thing that would happen to a person. If you can somehow forget that you were purged from your old sins, you would really be in bad shape. Because thank God we have been and we are purged from our old sins. Don't you ever forget it. Don't let anybody, any preacher, any church, any condition around you that would get you in such a shape that you would be in such a place that you were not sure that you had forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. As long as you know that Jesus is your Lord, as long as you know that everything is all right between you and your Maker, come what may, it doesn't matter about that. It doesn't mean that you don't care, but no matter what happens, you know that your sins are forgiven and you know you're on your way to heaven. That's what's important. Divine power. We have the divine power of God. And it's a divine calling upon our life. Every one of us, not just a preacher or a bishop, we have a divine calling on our life. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Instead of worrying about whether you're saved or not, you can make sure that you're saved and give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things that we're talking about, adding these things to your faith and building on your faith. Now, works do not save us, but faith without works is dead. So your faith needs to work. You don't have faith because of works. But your faith produces works, and you need to have works that come from faith. Faith that doesn't produce any works is dead faith. And we don't want no dead faith. We want faith that has works, because that's living faith. If you do these things, you will never fall. You shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even though the gate is narrow, the way is straight, if you do what you ought to, he'll make a wide way for you to get in. And just as wide as you need to drive on, he'll make a way for you. Wherefore, I will not be negligent, he says, to put you in remembrance always of these things. I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance always of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. You already know it, but I want to reinforce it in your mind. Yea, I think it meet or necessary, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. God had shown Peter that he wouldn't have much longer, and he needs to do what he can for the Lord while he can. And that should be our position. We don't know how long we have, but we can do and should do what we can for the Lord while we have the opportunity. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He wanted the believers to know. He wanted them to be sure of their standing and to be sure of their position in Christ. They have this divine power. If you have the power of God upon your life, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you'll be witnesses unto me, Jesus said, and you have these great, exceeding, and precious promises that God has given to us upon our life that he's blessed us with. And we have these promises. We stand on the promises of God. We add to our faith the virtue and the knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And we build on our faith. We would be more conscious about building on our faith. We would have less time to tear down other people's faith if we would spend the time that we would have and do have to build on our own faith, to build ourselves up, and then we would be in a position to build others up. We don't need to tear anyone down. Everyone's already torn down. London bridges have been torn down enough, and we need to London bridges all built up. We need to build each other up and edify the body of Christ. Lift up. Jesus said, if you don't gather with me, you scatter abroad. If you're not for me, you're against me. And if we're tearing down, we're not doing the work of God. We're doing the work of the devil if we tear down. If we build up people in the Lord, this is what Simon Peter wanted to do in his second epistle. Now he has been with the Lord. He said some things he shouldn't have said and done some things he shouldn't have done, as we all did. And now he's an older man. He's grown up in the Lord. He's been past Pentecost, now the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he's preached and he's been an apostle. He's an elder. And now he's written the first and the second epistle. And he's encouraging us to stir us up by way of remembrance, talking to us about the divine power of God, that he has given us this divine power to make us a partaker of his divine nature, that he has called us with this divine calling. We're to make our calling and election sure, and then divine revelation. He talks to them about that time when they were on the mountain with Jesus. He takes Peter and James and John up there on this high mountain. And some people think that it's Mount Hermon, the highest mountain in Israel. He was transfigured, that is, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His raiment was white as a light. And there appeared Moses and Elijah, and they were talking with him. And Peter, he had to say something. He said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles. You know these little tabernacles that you see, Lord? Let us make three of them. One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He didn't really know what he was saying, but while he was yet speaking, behold, there came a bright cloud, and it overshadowed them. And a voice, behold, it comes out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to what he's got to say. And Peter talks to them about that. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. I want you to know, Peter said, that what I'm telling you is not a devised fable. It doesn't come out of Tom Sawyer's book. Our story that we're telling you is a real story. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fable. We're not following cunningly devised fables when we make known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We heard this voice from God that came in witness to Jesus. You are my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased. Peter says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that we heard this voice. This voice, we heard it when we were with him in the holy mountain. But he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. If you think that's something, you listen to this. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You know that song, Day Star Shine Down on Me? That's where it came from, this scripture. I want the day to dawn. It needs to dawn on some people. Some people need the light to dawn on them and get right with God. The day star arise in your hearts, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not just a Pentecostal Bible or a Baptist Bible or a Methodist Bible or a Baptist bride or one phase. It's for everyone. It's not just for the priesthood. It's not just for the priest to tell the people what they got to do because I say so. It's every believer has a right to have a Bible. Every person has a right to interpret the scripture for themselves. Now, you can't interpret it in a way it shouldn't be. You've got to interpret it in the right way. But no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter said, I want you to know about this divine power. I want you to know about the power of God. Because these men of God, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how Daniel got his vision. And that's how Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Moses and all these men of God, that's why and how they were able to write what they did in the Bible. David wrote all those Psalms and all the scriptures that we have. That's how it came to us. It's not just that we have a Bible put out by man. It's not put out by man. It may be put out by a publishing company, but God is the author of the Bible. The holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And you and I today are an empowered people. We have the same power of God. We have the same word of God that the early church had. Now, the apostles, they didn't have a Bible like we have. They had the Holy Spirit. He brought the word of God to them and through them. And the Bible was written. Scriptures were put together, Old and New Testament. We have God's word. We have the law, the Torah. We have the history and the poetry and the prophecy, the Old Testament. We have the Gospels in the New Testament. We have the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And then we have the epistles. No, the epistles are not the wives of the apostles, by the way. We have the books of the Bible that were written by the apostles. And Paul wrote most of the New Testament. And then we have John's epistles. And then we have Jude. And then we have the book of the Revelation. All of it goes together to make 66 books, one Bible that shows us how to live. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God wants you to have life. He wants you to be blessed in this life. But he wants you to have godliness, to put God first, to put the kingdom of God first. And the scripture tells us that John said, I want you to prosper. I wish above all things, beloved, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Your soul has to prosper first. Put God first. Seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added to you. God has given to us. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. What a wonderful Savior we have and serve. He is our God and he's our Lord. Father, thank you for this word from 2 Peter chapter 1. I pray you bless it to our hearts today. May many people be encouraged by the divine power of God to be an empowered people of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's always a joy to have you listening to the teaching sessions from Tony Broom Ministry. This has been a session from 2 Peter chapter 1 entitled, An Empowered People. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. He will give you the power to live the Christian life. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.